Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 157 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. I was just sitting there the other night. My name is Chris Jordan, by the way. Stephen Bishop is here with me.
What's up, guys? Connelly.
We're here at the Cave in Austin, Texas.
The Man Cave. Dudes,
I am
beer.
This year. I am actually not appearing by a ghostly visage. I am here in person in Austin. I know, right? It's kind of weird having the dude that like has the studio in the studio. What's that even about?
Nonsense.
I know. That's just that's random.
That's like
nonsense.
Playing VR and VR. Or something.
And I know, dude. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's like having a picture of yourself taking a picture of yourself.
That's so meta. What is
it's
that?
It's meta. Like? Yeah, I don't even know what that means. I'm just now finding out that the kids don't say hip. So I'm apparently not hip anymore.
Well, we're old.
Yeah, it's all right. And speaking of old, speaking of things that are misunderstood, we have the news of the week, folks. Which is full of fantastic, fantastic Facebook news. Of course, TechCrunch came out and was telling us about Mark Zuckerberg's prepared statement for Congress today. This was the beginning of the congressional panel. He will go before the Senate and stuff like that coming up. But today he sat down for about 6 hours. I sat and watched and listened to it. Yeah. It was pretty, you know. He put out a pre-release of what he was going to say and what his thoughts were. And, of course, they were able to ask questions. Out of Wired Magazine, Cambridge Analytica could also access private Facebook messages, according to data that has come out in other Facebook news for that. Facebook, a big contributor to committees in Congress that will question Mark Zuckerberg, was the headline out of USA Today.
No problem there at all.
Facebook and Cambridge Analytica are now facing a class action lawsuit in the UK. Also,
they want him to come talk in front of Parliament. Yeah. That's crazy.
Dang. Yeah. Leave the city. Go to the Parliament.
England.
Yeah, right.
George Clinton.
Something tells me he could probably float that trip to England anytime he wants. out of Bloomberg, Facebook scans the photos and links you send on Messenger, and then we also had out of CNBC the other day. Facebook sent a doctor on a secret mission to ask hospitals to share patient data. And Gizmodo was letting us know that Facebook admits Mark Zuckerberg and top execs have deleted their sent messages remotely, which is not even an option for us regular users.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're apparently having to put a feature in now.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's apparently available.
Yeah.
And we'll get into all of that.
I want the pro version of Facebook.
But before we do, we have a very special message about this. NDAs, a lot of stuff going on in the news, of course, about the raid on Trump's lawyer, stuff like that. Was that even constitutional? Should that even be allowed the way it was allowed to happen? And with that, we're going to go to a short phone interview that we did just a little while ago with J.L. Carpenter, attorney at law. She is our official legal correspondent for the Dudes and Beer podcast.
Woo!
So let's hear what J.L. has to say about not only Mark Zuckerberg, but... So, ladies and gentlemen, we have on the phone with us a fantastic lawyer out of Houston, Texas, J.L. Carpenter of the J.L. Carpenter Law Firm. Tell us what you think about what is going on right now with Facebook, as well as the whole NDA situation with Stormy Daniels and even what's going on with Charlie Rose and his NDA situation.
Okay, well, a couple of different issues going on there, and it's been a busy day for the news media. But I watched a little bit of Mark Zuckerberg's testimony in front of the Senate today.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I've noticed is that he never tried to hide behind a lawyer. He, from the very beginning, he has wanted to admit guilt, say I'm sorry, what can we do to make it better? He's held himself and his company accountable. And so you had asked me what's the difference of being compelled and being sworn. In this situation, I think that it's different from what you typically see because Mark is voluntarily going in front of the lawmakers, trying to not only show that he's being accountable and accepting responsibility, but to see what he can do to work with lawmakers to make things better so that situations like this don't arise again and he doesn't lose the trust of the public as they use his software. So I think that's the difference there. And then on the other note, as a criminal defense attorney, it scares the living daylights out of me that the government could come into my office and just take my client's files, my computer, any other items that might be in my home or office, like they did in this raid. And then the government just turns it over to another FBI agent and says, here, do the forensics on this, run this, and now analyze this. There's no safeguard there. There's no firewall there. There's no, you know, they're running rampant with what they want to do, and there's no checks and balances in that. So that when I have a client come into my office, I say to them, this is a safe space. This is attorney-client privileged communication. You can tell me anything here. It's my job to help defend you or mitigate or to make sure that your constitutional rights are protected and not trampled upon. And then for the government to just come in and take all that.
Yeah, absolutely destroy that. A constitutionally guaranteed institution. You know, like one of the few things that you are constitutionally guaranteed as a person is the right to counsel, and that indelible privacy between a lawyer and of course there is the permission for the fact of if you're in active commission of a crime, if you're helping cover up a crime, things like that, then the attorney-client privilege does not stand. But
that's true. But on another note, though, for instance, when I have cases that involve Child Protective Services records, and that's highly protected information because you're dealing with children, I will subpoena those and ask for a court to order that CPS turns those records over to us. So with that court order, CPS gets served. And what typically happens is that CPS will then turn those over to the judge who will do an inspection of those records. And that neutral person will determine what's acceptable for me to have and what's not. What's relevant for me to have and what's not. That neutral magistrate.
Yeah.
In this situation with Trump's lawyer, there's no neutrality in the person who's determining what is subject to the exception and what is not.
Yeah, and that's just it. It's a really odd situation, and it's one that is hugely out of balance, I think. Just really strange that it happened this way and that it kind of went down like that for something so major, you know.
Well, because it's part of, and like Trump says, it's part of a witch hunt. Because this has absolutely nothing to do with Russian collusion, which they determined there was no Russian collusion.
Yeah.
So now we're just traveling down this path. And I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican or liberal or conservative. This is scary for every United States citizen, period.
Yeah.
This is scary behavior from the government. This is way intrusive. It's stepping over constitutional boundaries, and it should scare everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And JL, thank you so much for taking the time to call in and weigh on these two heavy, heavy topics in our society right now, not just the facts of digital privacy, how to take care of your digital privacy, but also your constitutional rights, things like that.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime. We'd love to have you on regularly to talk about this kind of stuff, JL. Tell everybody where they can go to find out more about your law practice and about protecting themselves.
Thank you.
www.jlcarpenterlaw.com.
All right. Thank you so much. And you have a great evening. Drive carefully out there. I know you're on your way home. And good luck to the kids. I know they're busy applying for colleges and all that kind of stuff. It's so exciting for you.
It is. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. And that was our first interview with J.L. Carpenter, attorney at law. Once again, you can find her online. I think she brought up some great points regarding Mark Zuckerberg and the things that went on today. And the fact that it was great, the fact that, like Steve-O was saying, why did he not have legal counsel there? Why did he not have people there that could answer questions for him from other departments?
Yeah.
Like I said, number one, it's not a trial right now. It's not even a hearing. It's just a panel. It's just a panel. So it really behooves him to come right out.
Yeah,
and be the one out front and just get, as they put it in the optics of politics, just get out in front of the situation. You know, the earlier you are out in front of the situation, the better off you are.
Yeah, but it looks and like he's trying not to hide
exactly,
anything.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's just like, with your case, Steve, just like with mine, JL was saying, the one thing that is sacred is that attorney-client privilege. The first thing she says to her clients is, you are in a safe place. You're somewhere that you can tell, and you should tell me anything and everything.
Right.
I need to know anything and everything in order to be able to defend you.
To defend you,
You come up with some information later, we could have gone down a rabbit hole that you can't dig sideways.
Come back from it.
Yeah, you can't start digging in an angle once you get down so far to be able to get out of a hole, you know. I always tell
True
people,
that.
Whenever you're digging a hole, make sure to dig one side at a slight angle.
So you can
always get out of that hole, you know. And that's what telling your lawyer everything is about, is making sure that the person that you are paying to legally represent you knows everything about you, knows everything intimately. And the fact that he was not hiding behind the Fifth, he was not taking the Fifth on anything, he was not answering any questions. He answered a lot of the questions, of course, in the same way.
Sure.
But like I said earlier before the show, it's also one of those, like, their job right now is to try to catch him double talking.
Yeah,
number one. Yeah.
Get information, get a baseline.
It's a fishing expedition, and he'll have to go before the Senate and do the same thing.
Fishy.
You know, and
it still can't be fun for him.
No, it's absolutely not fun. And to be put out in the public like that. Technically what happened with Cambridge Analytica, until they sold information to another person, nothing was inviolate of the user
at
practices.
At that time, they seem to have updated it since then, but at that time there was nothing.
Nothing inviolate. And like, he even said, like, we fully cooperated with the Trump campaign, the same that we would with any advertiser. Like, we didn't throttle back their stuff, anything like that. If they paid for ads, we put the ads up.
Right.
But, I mean, I know
they target who the ads go to, though, because I never got a Trump ad. I would have been like,
Sure. No. Well, and the thing is, like, I have an ad account. Dudes and Beer has an ad account, and it was interesting for our 150th episode. We could not make an ad.
Huh. Oh,
we could not
make
because it was tobacco. But for our 100th episode, for a fantastic sponsor, Hops and Grain, we could boost that all day long.
Yeah,
we could boost an alcohol post all day long, but you can't post a tobacco post.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You can't boost a tobacco post.
Blog is all alcohol, and they've never it gets boosted all the time.
Yeah. Well, and especially paid boost, especially paid ads, where, you know, I have demographics. If you go into our admin panel and click the Dudes and Beer Live Austin.
Basically like targeting ad advertising.
Age ranges, people who drink, people who are into cars, people who are
into. And this is all the data they've already, like, you know.
Yeah, they mine it from your posts and from the quizzes that you take.
He discussed that, you know, today and all.
Well, and it's stuff that you've already shared.
Right.
Whenever you signed up, you had the option to say my interest or no.
Right.
Yep. I
you had the option to close that.
Yeah.
for me, I have no issue with it. I'm not putting anything like super secure. And right. the targeted advertising,
that's a smart thing.
It's on point. I get really cute clothes.
It's true. It's true. Your onesie is pretty sweet.
Adorable.
Doesn't beat out my Spider-Man onesie, but
we should have a onesie party.
Okay. I'm down with the dudes and beer pajama party.
Mine's technically day wear or pajamas.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what I'm wearing right now.
No, that's a total beachwear outfit. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just like wear
that's
it to
what
the
I
beach,
got
throw it on.
Yeah, my birthday.
You know, stuff like that. And,
hell yeah.
You know, for me, and somebody posted earlier, you know, I was like, of course, you know, some of us know what we shared. Not everybody, and this is what they kept saying, not everybody is going to read that EULA, that end user licensing agreement.
Right. It's so huge.
It's enormous. Yeah. And what's funny, though, is that, like, page by page, it's not enormous.
And it's an interesting read, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and whenever we were censored, I went through and did a lot of research.
Just figure out why.
Yeah.
On stuff.
It's like the Tale of Two Cities.
It was, you know, it was the Adam Raposa. It was interesting because that was actually the last time we had a lawyer on. Or no, I guess we had Arshawn McCleskey on. He's a lawyer
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
But whenever we had Adam Raposa on and tried to post that. That episode was absolutely banned by Facebook.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We were totally blocked out. And I mean, I shared it with five groups and three of them are my groups.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're groups I started. And the other two are owned by like my buddy John Seymour. I know he's not going to flag me
no.
as spam, yo.
Yeah.
So I went through and screenshotted all their stuff. I sent it to them, and it took like a week to unlock my account.
Yeah, I remember
didn't
that.
Didn't even be able to post. Like, yeah. we didn't even have dudes. I asked you guys
yeah.
to post
it was
as
coming
much
up
as
funky.
Could.
There's, you know.
Yeah.
I can see somebody trying to post, but it was like,
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
showing it.
Yeah, no content.
Yeah,
no content.
Content.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's absolutely a function that they can do. I know Amy at one point knew somebody that worked at Facebook as a traffic watcher. And they were all given a certain number of fun and kind of creepy. Fun and creepy. You know, you're basically watching live feeds and feeds from people like Dudes and Beer that
right.
post and post and post and post and post. Like there's smooth
looking
a
for
good
words,
15
looking for...
posts, 20 posts a day of articles coming from Dudes and Beer.
Some days.
Stuff like that.
It's hard to keep up.
It is. but that's the information swath that we're given.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I'm
yeah.
always trying to point out. And
yep.
if
oh,
you'd like
to...
proof, come join the Dudes and Beer group. You will see all of these. And part of the reason I even started the News of the Week was to, outside of Facebook, have a chronicle of the crazy articles that we post.
Yeah.
Because, like, man, had
yeah.
I been doing this for the last 3 years? Dude, like just being able to search through Dudes and Beer and find stuff would just be wild.
Yeah.
Because it's there now, you know, and things that we talked about 3 years ago are actively happening.
Yeah.
We talked 3 years yeah. ago about what will happen the day that Facebook becomes like YouTube, and if you want ad free, you're going to have to pay for it.
Yep, we spoke about it.
And it's since become that YouTube Red is launched. They have their own content now.
Yeah, Liam has it.
They
have, he likes it.
They have their own original content. They have streaming of football games. They've made all kinds.
Oh, I shouldn't say that
because
of Breach.
Oh.
Nah.
It's all right. We belong to Breach. Breach is a great sponsor. We love them very much. We love their content. YouTube is still there, and they're still a large search engine. They're, I think, the second largest next to Google, probably because
wow.
they're owned by Google. Yeah, like
and, yeah,
are they
and owned
really?
By Google.
Oh yeah, no,
oh, that's
they
crazy.
Yeah, no, Google and YouTube are unified sign-in.
Well, so
yeah.
we were talking about
yeah, totally.
The monopolies before
yeah.
with Facebook. It seems
yeah.
like Google's definitely right up there too. Then
it isn't though, because it's a search engine.
So it's got the monopoly on search engines.
No, absolutely not.
Well,
there is Yahoo. There's
nobody
Bing.
Nobody goes to Yahoo.
That's
or Bing.
Not true.
Although my work used to default.
Don't
to Bing,
go.
If that,
like,
if
that
was true, my mother's Yahoo account wouldn't have been hacked.
They shut down my Yahoo account because it was hacked so many times and I hadn't checked it in like 11 years.
Like, you know.
So they sent me an email and
there's
they're like,
dog pile.
We deleted your whole account. And I was like,
I'm not going to lie. I have a straight up dump email where it's something that, you know, where I have to give them an email like they insist on
it.
Yeah,
mine was my Yahoo account.
I give them that. And when I showed my brother, but you can look at it. Like, this was all up around Christmas time that it came out, the Yahoo hack that happened in 2015. It was pretty much every single Yahoo user.
Oh, it had to been everybody. Yeah.
It was like a third of the population of the planet.
Yeah.
But
which means everybody.
I think that's a lot of people's dump emails, though.
Well, at this point, sure, but it's still connected to other stuff via metadata. It's still connected to ISP, and once you've hacked that, like, it's free access to everything.
It's like how, like, my blog keeps randomly showing up on Google Plus. Everything's connected. You don't have to look very far.
Well, and that's just it. Like, I constantly talk about the demonstration that I saw numerous years ago at a Black Hat convention here in town, where a dude, via a Bluetooth nightlight on stage, hacked into a home computer that was set up on stage.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're both set up on the same Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Right.
So as soon as he was past the uber soft,
the more shit you have, like
Bluetooth
a
security,
refrigerator, your washer and dryer,
that's
all this
it.
Within a decade.
Every one of them is a point of entry.
Yeah, a point of entry.
All a point of entry to a system.
Finally, when
anything
we got
hooked up.
Fiber, we got a password. Finally, because Brian was always like, no, we don't need to lock our Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
you do. I'm like, yes, you do.
Yeah,
so finally
do.
With Fiber, I was
one.
There when the guy set it up, and I was like, I would like this to be secure, please. And so I've got a stupid password that people won't figure out.
Nice. Nice.
It's not a challenge.
Yeah.
It's not a challenge.
Please don't try to figure it out.
It's Disney one.
Yeah.
I heart the mouse.
Yeah. Don't F with the mouse.
Capital D with the Z, no S.
There it is.
Or your S. You go missing. Go missing in the mouse.
And I mean, I know people that are tech heads that literally sit at shows with Wi-Fi stuff and
they
hack networks. Like, I sit there and watch them, like, find people's networks and just get into them and use them. And it's like, what the, dude, like, that was somebody's Wi-Fi hotspot that you just totally jacked into.
Jacked into.
I mean,
nice.
If it's not password protected, I'll do that.
Oh, no.
If it is.
It is.
Yeah, that's.
It is.
Special skills.
That's the thing. Like, and they're in within like a minute. Like, once they find it,
dude,
they run a couple programs on that ISP that IP
that's
address,
crazy.
And it cracks it open, and it's like, yo, like, you are surfing that dude's internet right now. Like, you could have access to all kinds of stuff.
Leave that really bad little crumb trail for him.
I was wondering why my bandwidth got so low all of a sudden.
Right.
and that's one of the things that we have to be concerned about. Of course, the data, Cambridge Analytica breach that happened, and it, I guess it wasn't necessarily a breach so much as a leak. You know, nobody hacked Cambridge Analytica to get the information.
Right,
they sold it to another party.
It's freely being
they considered it their information. It was gathered via an app that they built in the dev center.
It was a leak.
I think that'd be the right way to put it. But like JL said, the great thing was that Mark got out in front of it. He isn't hiding behind a lawyer. He's willing to answer any questions.
Right.
Yeah.
He answered yes and no questions today numerous times.
Right.
The same yes and no question. Like I said, I think they're trying to set up for a whiz-bang wow moment later, possibly, but...
he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
He's not an idiot. Become Mark Zuckerberg by being an idiot.
You don't, well, you know... And of course, there were numerous people I saw commenting all over social media today. How are you going to trust the guy who literally stole his business from his roommate?
That's a low blow, dude.
That's true but cold. He hustled him out of it.
Yep.
He hustled him out of it. It's happened numerous times in the digital age.
Yeah,
totally.
I got hustled out of baseball cards.
Well, and I forget who it was. I think it was Coons who was talking about The fact that he was there during the first Facebook hearings that happened a while back, and that he was there during the Microsoft hearings, because of course there was the whole question a while back with Fair Trade Commission as to whether or not Microsoft was a monopoly. Well, they aren't, because there are other OS systems out there. You know, there's iOS, there's Linux, and it's kind of like we were saying about Google. Google can't be a monopoly because there's a good three or four standard big name search engines out there.
Like Facebook can't be a monopoly because there's Line and there tries to be other things. They just don't make it, but I don't think it's
But it's not exactly exactly what Facebook is, though.
Yeah, I mean, Google Plus tried to be exactly what Facebook was. It just didn't make it, but I don't think that was Facebook's fault. I think it was just a shittier product.
Well, yeah, I think it was a stab at the dark, really, to do something. It was much more of...
Yes, like a business
event. Yeah, yeah. It was much more to start up pages for businesses, pages for stuff where you could share them. You could like them. You could keep up to date with what that page put out.
But then there's Twitter. That kind of stuff. You don't need that. It was just redundant.
A social push for a social thing.
It was totally redundant. You can get that same thing from Instagram, from Facebook, from just in different ways.
And we're definitely in the age of the social media button. And you know, like, good God, Periscope popped up and went down. pun intended. Vine, like you were saying earlier, there have been numerous platforms. Good God, the venerable MySpace tried to have a comeback.
I know. It was like, we'll just be bands, we promise. No, you're nothing.
Poor Timberlake.
Bought
that damn thing.
Even
a lot of money.
Even they had an issue, though, toward the end. Where number one, they were letting people mod stuff. So that caused a big lag on server. That caused a big security issue. Because it was very easy to put in malware to plug in.
It was fun
and
to
stuff
be able
like
to
that.
Customize that.
Yeah, I remember that at the end, customizing.
It was cool,
but I can see it
was logy. And I remember at the time I booked bands, and my general rule of thumb is if it took more than 30 seconds for your page to load, I did not book
too
you.
Much.
Yeah.
I did not book you. Yeah. It was just that simple.
I just had a lot of those digital pets because I was very young when MySpace was around. I think I was like 20 to 26 or something.
Well, and it came out just toward the slump of MySpace and the takeoff of Facebook.
Yeah.
That I think it was like there were like 60,000 registered sex offenders using MySpace. And that was registered sex offenders, quite obviously using their own name.
I mean, that's
so
these
were people. Well, I mean, hey, you can't not be on social media just because you're a sex offender.
I feel like you can. I mean,
I feel like you can.
I wouldn't be.
Well,
but then I probably wouldn't be a sex offender either. So
even people who are a registered sex offender who granted have served their time, gotten their treatment, things like that.
No, there's
nothing
no
saying that you can't like go be a part of Facebook. That you can't go have a MySpace page.
You can't be part of society.
But the fact is, these were people that were friends with underage people, stuff like that.
Right, of course.
And
that doesn't stop when you get
and
out
not
of jail,
only that,
usually.
But there are 60,000 of them using their actual name. So imagine how many people are charading.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
And that was one of the big questions today. Was of course, since it came out that there were quite a few. I mean, it even came out that the biggest
Black Lives Matter page
on Facebook
was
utterly fake.
Yep.
Right.
Was utterly fake. Was somebody from Russia.
Mm-hmm. Australia.
I'm confusing it with the other Russian actors that they found on Facebook here recently.
Well, that's not surprising either.
No, absolutely not. And that's just it. You know, how many people out there are using a pseudonym,
that's
stuff
what we
like
get
that?
With the internet, man.
Well,
a lot of fakes, you know.
But he came out and straight up said that. They are actively making it to where if it does not, even if, especially if you're an ad purchaser, like Dudes and Beer or something like that.
Right.
that next time I would try to post an ad, it would actively send me a mailer first to assure the fact that, like,
the confirmation,
I am where I am.
Right.
I physically exist at this address.
Which
like
is
said,
a lot of
I
extra
have.
Work, but they got to fix it. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So they're doing some good due diligence on that part. Where do you weigh in, Julie, as a parent with social media and use of social media, especially as someone who is a teacher?
I mean, it's there. I don't worry too much about it for Liam, but he tells me what he sees on Snapchat from his friends. Kids going out, like, in the middle of the night trying to score drugs or trying to score hookups or whatever. And these are kids. These are, like, 14 to 16-year-old kids.
How naive and dumb.
Yeah.
And their parents obviously have no idea. And I've called a couple parents before, and I know that does not make me cool, but I'm like, hey, really need to check your kids' snaps or instas. Like, this is, they're gonna die, and you're not gonna have any idea why,
or end up in jail,
right? Yeah. Something terrible is gonna happen to these children, but it's still there. It's part of life. It is what it is. Just kind of be as aware as you can be. I don't demand passwords. I know a lot of parents do. I don't.
Give
I trust
me a password.
Liam. I don't. I don't have any
we get
to
a situation
to.
Where I can't trust you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I
need
it's
your
a
password.
Whole different thing.
Right.
But so far, besides not doing homework, he has given me no reason to ever think he's anything but on the up and up. I mean,
I'd also.
And he's actually honest about not doing his homework. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can trust that he doesn't do his homework. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I was not.
Let's see how that works out. Cool.
Yeah. Are you failing everything? Sure. All right. Well. Good job.
Sucks for you, bro.
Yep.
You need to work on that a lot.
He is.
He is. He's working on it
great.
He's working on it very well.
He's such a good kid, though.
Good for you, Liam.
So don't worry about him with social media. But as, like, a big picture that's not just in my little bubble, it's worrisome if you have somebody in your life that you're not 100% sure about what they're up to. You need to ask for passwords.
Well, and I mean,
I think 13 is too young, too. I think
15
would be a lot better.
Well, and like we were saying before the show, the fact that they were even considering, the fact that they are even considering Facebook Kids.
No.
As young as six.
Yeah, no. Not
being
for
able
social
to have
media.
Them, and that's
because
just
they're
it.
Gonna, their entire life is going to be online.
Well,
it's going to be what people think of them. It's going to be their inner dialogue
and I think,
is going to be trying to impress other people or trying to present themselves to
other
people in a very specific way that you can't do that unless your brain is a little
it
bit
is,
more developed.
And I mean,
like,
you know, I was really,
really stressful.
I was really kind of examining it on my way over here today, kind of just thinking about the pure narcissism.
Right. We don't want six-year-olds having to deal with that already.
Yeah. Yeah, much less a 13-year-old when they're trying to discover themselves, when they're trying to actually find their footing, their first real footing in society. Like, that's 12, 13. Like, there's a reason why mitzvahs happened at that point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why coming-of-age ceremonies happen. Right. Like, that's when you graduate from the kids' table at Thanksgiving.
You're like an adolescent.
That's crazy.
You know?
Man.
I think
getting
15
acclimated
is good
to the machine.
Because they get their permits. They have to see in a big way how
I'm a fan of 18. I'm a fan of 18. How can it not be 18? You legally cannot sign a document until you're 18.
That's true. They are agreeing to terms and conditions.
Oh, there you go.
Like,
they are
not old enough.
How is that even possible?
Yeah, so how is that possible?
That's true.
How's this work?
Like, you're signing a legal document.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, they're just
not even kind of
it, but
that click is a legal document.
Yeah, so you're right. In that case, they shouldn't because they're not allowed to. However, Liam can now sign for his own passport at 16.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe at age 15 to 16. Because
he can sign for his own passport because it's got to be his signature. They've got to be able to match the fact that it's him.
Right, but until he was 16, he couldn't sign for his own passport.
No, no.
So, like,
absolutely,
if you can sign
not.
For your own identity at 16, I guess you can go online.
That's because internationally, though.
Right, 16 is considered
16
an adult
is
in a lot
the
places.
Age of consent. 16
well, and
is.
Facebook is not just American. Huh.
No, it is not.
So.
No, it is not.
I changed from 15 to 16.
So. And I changed from 18 to 16.
Yay, 16 it is.
Yes.
Come
so
on,
16.
Zuckerberg.
But I would still even say at that point that a 16-year-old does not realize, like Steve-O was saying earlier. earlier, does not realize the long
the like long-term effect,
the
man.
Long-term impact.
Yeah, yeah, I think it'd be an interesting
of what they post
experiment. But I mean, it's not even an experiment. We're gonna see in 30 years.
Oh, it's
where
gonna
this
happen.
Brought
oh,
us. God. I mean, yeah. People who started because Liam got his Facebook when he was 13.
Oh hell,
he didn't use it. He right. still doesn't use it really for
no,
anything.
No, not really. Every once in a while, he comments on some dudes and beer stuff.
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
Got
yeah.
Some
every
deep
now, yeah, I saw that.
He
saw
does,
that.
Or he'll link up to his school newspaper.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really use it for social media aspects.
Good for him.
So, right. But yeah, it'd be interesting, like, when he's 50, if he goes back and he sees, like, the articles that he wrote right. on his paper, whatever, like, that's
sure.
me. Like,
yeah.
That's something that we all don't have, something that's
no.
just the click
no.
of the button to relive your childhood. And sometimes it's terrible, but
right.
he had a good childhood.
Yeah.
I
think.
I like to think that the great majority of people had a decent childhood.
Right? So
like,
I
maybe
wouldn't
I'm just.
Go back
maybe it's just the. Maybe it's just the.
Like a digital
the
diary.
Optimist. Oh, good God. I would never want to go back and relive my childhood. But I'm going to get to relive a lot of my childhood through my little.
Oh,
ginger-headed
so
baby.
Cute.
That ginger-headed baby.
I took so many pictures of him
at
your house.
He's
going
to get to deal with a lot of the repression that gingers get to deal with and a lot of the teasing.
Well, he has no soul,
and,
so.
And that's... it's not true. We don't know how many he has yet. His melanin has not settled in, so we don't know how many... Like, I have one freckle
having
for each soul
souls.
I've stolen.
Having a demon in you counts as a soul.
Yeah.
An occupying entity. He is
yeah.
not a soul.
Yeah, I'm just checking.
So freckles are souls? I have a lot, too.
Yeah, like, that's
freckles are
one
soul?
For each soul you captured.
Awesome.
Well, you got the last name of Sheehy
yeah.
for your maiden name. You got a good Irish
got a
name.
Whole galaxy of good. Probably different yeah. races and stuff of souls there.
Yeah. I have a lot of different races anyway in my blood. I got my DNA back. I'm 5%
oh, yeah.
Middle Eastern. That was exciting.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot. 30% Eastern European because I'm
sure.
a third Jew. And then the rest of it's all Irish. There's like
okay.
1% Italian.
Eastern
Who
European,
knows?
Like Romanian.
Estonia.
Oh, sweet.
I know.
Ah,
I was
nice.
Excited
sweet.
About that.
That's
I've been
deep.
There. And I was like,
that's,
fuck yeah.
That's
this
hardcore
is like
gypsy
old.
Country,
yeah.
bro.
Yep.
Nice.
Wow.
Very
nice.
Exciting.
A gypsy in our midst.
Mm-hmm.
Road of the Gypsy.
No, Steve. Not Road of the Gypsy.
Oh, I was thinking Iron Eagle.
How do you know that Doug just came right into my head? Brian Assessor.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian got his back and it was like 100% Irish. Or Scottish. Irish Scottish. Yeah. And I was like,
Scott's
wow,
Irish.
You're diverse.
Yeah.
He was like really hoping that there'd be something else in there. No.
Yeah. I would be interested to see my DNA, but I'm just not going to sell that private data.
Nah.
I don't care. We've already established. I'm not secretive about myself.
Nah. It was already rough enough whenever Amy went through the genetic tests and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
with Dalbus. Because, I mean, of course.
Geriatric
just,
pregnancy.
Yeah, yeah. That's a geriatric pregnancy is what they call it. Anything past 35 is considered a
geriatric
pregnancy.
Are you serious?
And
I got
at that
a name
point,
for this?
At that point, literally,
what
like, just
mean?
So you know, ladies, it's not horribly risky nowadays, but they throw crazy science at you.
Yeah,
like,
it means that they think you're too old, so
yeah.
they, like, test the baby.
They really watch
everything.
You. Yeah,
they
really
test,
watch
like,
you.
Your background
yeah.
to make sure that you're going to, like, mesh and make
yeah.
a viable baby.
They
and,
did, like, chromosomal tests on our baby
yeah,
and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Like, we would have known within, like, the first month and a half as to whether or not our baby had, like, possible Down syndrome.
Right.
Anything like that.
Safety precautions are always good. You can never have too many.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then so they just do it. Like, even... Yeah.
I was kind of a side note in that conversation.
A side note? Well, how do you mean?
Well, number one,
is it because
as,
you weren't physically carrying the baby?
Yeah. Yeah. As the father,
you were expendable.
You're a fucking shadow on the wall of every one of those doctor
yeah,
meetings,
yeah.
bro.
No,
well, that's fair.
I feel that,
the baby.
I
yeah,
feel that.
No, absolutely.
When I was in that,
but it was one of those like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're talking about like. You know, some pretty hardcore genetic tests
oh,
with,
know,
my,
yeah.
With my fetus here.
Yeah.
Or my wife, technically my wife's fetus. She's the one carrying it. Possession
yeah.
is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah.
But technically 1/10 my fetus.
But you want to be prepared
yeah.
in case
but,
there's something
you know,
that would have come up.
Well, yeah, yeah. And it's also like, What about my opinion?
Yeah, exactly.
But Amy Fortune, no, exactly. I don't have one in that situation.
The way they see it is, you did your job already. You're just a chump over there in a chair. Shut up.
No, it's just that it's like she's got to carry it. And,
yeah.
You know, in this she's country, one, she's kind of stuck with it, too. Like, she got a Chris who's going to stick around, but there's really no guarantees. We're like baby vending machines here, so the very least we should get to figure out if we want to test it for Down syndrome or whatever else is going to be coming up. Not that would have changed Amy's mind at all.
No. No, and we had that discussion.
But then you're just more prepared to know what's coming.
I felt like a third wheel in that same situation before that I was in, you know, going to the doctor and stuff, checking on the fetus and all. And I'm like, I felt like the third wheel. I'm like, hey, I'm over here, guys. You know?
Because it's not about you.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about us. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, hey, guys.
That's right.
You guys have 22% more income than we do, so relax on that.
It's like, what's going on?
Today is International Fair Wage Day or whatever.
Thought it was International Siblings Day.
It is also that. Maybe yesterday was a
lot
Fair
of international
day.
Something.
Is there a Siblings Day
thing? Yeah. It is. Yeah. Shout out to Aaron and Nikki and Matt and Nick.
Yeah, my brother Randy.
A lot of icks in that.
My sister-in-law.
With all different parents.
Nice.
Well, and that's just the thing. That's something that Mark kept bringing up today, Mr. Zuckerberg, in front of Congress, was that we're trying to build things to connect people. We're trying to build things to connect society, and we need to. I guess what he was trying to get across was the fact that a lot of these things we've had to reflexively respond to. We can't necessarily predict these outcomes.
Right.
We just have to kind of deal with them when they pop up.
Right.
And that was the one thing that they kept on bringing up was that...
I mean, it's true. This was absolutely kind of whole new territory. So. Right.
Just so like the conversation we had with R. McCleskey is that like technology is progressing further than the laws have already been written kind of deal. Right? Yep. You know what I mean? In that kind of sense, I believe, you know.
Oh, no.
It totally applies. It totally applies.
Yeah, basically people don't know that they need to regulate something until something happens. Right. Where they're like, fuck, we should have regulated this.
Yeah, well, what do we do about
this? And the real question is, and that's what they kept asking today, is this something that we need to meet and write legislation on?
Yep.
And
I don't know. I mean, he can probably just change the terms of agreement. Like, I don't think it has to be a law.
No,
it is a private corporation.
And that's just it.
Like,
you heard quite a few senators or congressmen and congresswomen pushing the hard line of legislation. And it's one of those, like, to me, that's
I don't think
that's
they
a scary
legislate
point. Go ahead.
The Facebook aspect of it, but I could see. On the political side, to legislate that people involved in the political arena are not allowed to harvest data for pay from social media.
People such as Cambridge.
But I don't think that, people such as Cambridge or such as like people running for elected office or people who are like part of super PACs, maybe, you know, like they can have their own laws, which I think they already do.
They do. They have laws governing how that money comes in, how it's spent,
how they get
reported.
Their information, right. Everything. But I don't think that necessarily, like, Facebook needs to be regulated. They that this is an issue.
Right.
If they didn't do anything about it to make it more secure in the future, sure, maybe step
well,
in. But it's a private corporation at this point.
Right. Like, well, and one of the things that they were...
Well, it's publicly traded, but still.
One of the things that they were actively talking about was, of course, censorship and stopping the free speech, things like that, targeting of certain pages, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this
that
really
undermines the whole
censorship.
Point of Facebook. Yeah,
this doesn't. But they were talking about at what point does your flagging of stuff? At what point does what you're doing fall under the reins of censorship, fall under the reins of that?
Just if it's in their terms and conditions, though, because, like, there's a lot of stuff that I read that I'm like, this is horrifying.
Yeah.
But it doesn't violate their terms.
Oh, they just recently made it to where ads including race couldn't be done.
Yeah.
Or excluding
like,
race.
Those stupid ads that, like,
and some of those.
In, like, I think it's happened on Dudes and Beer before, but people put up, like, the movie links.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that should be spam and should be reportable. But, like, comments, there's a lot of stuff that I have wanted to report it, but then you read the terms and conditions, and unfortunately, it's not in breach of them. So if it's not in breach of them, then there's really just
I think if it involves somebody's safety or health or copyright issues or something or other in those type of categories,
threatening to like shoot up,
threatening and stuff like that, that definitely should be reportable. Right. But other than that, others in somebody's opinions that are different from yours or something that maybe
sometimes
you don't agree
with,
I mean, come on. I mean, it's like everybody's playground, so we're just out in the same place, you know, hanging out in a way digitally, that all these things you're going to come across, and you're just going to have to accept it. Like, some things are going to be different, some things you might not like, but if it comes to that point where it's going to harm somebody, threaten somebody, hurt somebody, or violating law of copyright or some or other, then okay, then those should be reported, I think.
Right,
you know?
No, I think so too. Like, I was a friend of my husband's, he's awesome, but he made some post about gun control, and somebody who was not awesome jumped on there, and his reaction was like, I'll show you whatever. He like basically just threatened to shoot everybody that was on the post that lived near him. So people had reported that, and he was like, I didn't mean it literally, but that was one of the only times that I've seen Facebook actually removed the post.
Right.
But they didn't block him, but they removed the post, and they like, I guess, sent him a stern warning.
Probably
or
did. Guaranteed.
And now
they
I'm
did.
Sure he's on some list, but he's like, obviously I didn't mean that seriously. I'm not going to shoot people. Like, well, then
you
can't
put
fucking
that.
Say it.
Yeah,
you
like,
shouldn't put
but
it.
But that's not a violation of his free speech. It's never been okay to threaten to shoot somebody. Like, that's always been illegal.
Well, granted, on Facebook, all those things and hate speech and stuff like that weren't really defined in their terms of use and agreement until the last year or so.
Well, yeah, it's probably come up a lot more in the last
all
year.
That, all that
have
stuff.
So much more volatile.
Oh, yeah.
Year.
No, it's gotten like gasoline fumes volatile in this country. It's gotten absolutely insane.
I think when posting a post, that you should think of more so how it's being perceived, what you're posting, rather than what you mean. Because like you were saying a while ago, like, you know, the guy, like, oh, I didn't literally mean that. You know, it's like, well,
like, well, you literally said, I'm going to come shoot everybody that's in this radius or whatever. Like,
you know?
Yeah.
And you got to kind of think
like, well,
on
I
the
said that I
other.
Could, not that I would. And it's like, well, no, dude.
Right. If that's what you originally meant, it did not come across that way.
Yeah. It was apparently enough for one of the people sitting there watching live feeds to say, yeah. Okay.
Well, I think it was somebody in the actual, who lived in that New Hampshire radius.
Oh, wow.
Who was like, I'm here. I'm going to report this. Because then he was like, oh, somebody reported me to Facebook. And I was like, I would have, but I'm in Texas. Didn't affect me personally.
Duh, dude.
Yeah, I didn't really think much of it.
I was just like, wow, your friend's a dick, Adam.
Friend's a douche.
Well, and, you know, as these privacy concerns grow, I mean, one of the things that I saw this last week was that teachers, are not fully all about social media. And I wouldn't necessarily say that personally, but for their students.
Yeah.
And also that there was a huge, I guess, opinion poll that just came out saying that, like, teachers disagree with touch surfaces and computers more than anybody in the classroom.
They disagree?
Yeah. Whereas parents see touch screens and stuff like that as a great, awesome thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Teachers don't.
Huh.
Oh, why? I found it interesting as well,
I
Julie.
I wonder if it's a socioeconomic thing because not everybody has access to it.
Exactly. That was the first thing that I said. I was like, number one, think about it. Think about, like, the way that the strata and the pecking order between late elementary and high school works, you know? And it's like, I remember maybe having some guest stuff here and there. I think I may have had a Thermacolor shirt at one point.
Those were dope.
Those were dope. I wish I still had my Thermacolor.
Liam used to have one.
But, you know, I didn't have a lot of name brand stuff when I was in junior high and high school.
Me.
I grew way too damn fast. I grew way too damn fast to be able to wear it to begin with. Like, there was no way we could, like, substantiate a $60 shirt when I was going to outgrow it in 3 months.
Oh, I hear
you.
Know?
I have wrestler pants, dude.
I mean, you know, so it was definitely one of those I had some stuff, but I definitely didn't have things that friends of mine that were better off had. And I definitely had things that people that were not as well off as my family had, or didn't have, rather. And I think that's a big part of it, like you said, Julie, the socioeconomic and the pecking order that it comes down to.
Some schools aren't going to be able to get the funding for it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Like, not every school has an iMac program where right. you're gonna get an iPad.
Yeah, Leon's,
or something like
they
that for
get
school.
A I can't remember. They get a laptop though. All of the kids. Yeah.
Do they get that? Mm-hmm. Okay. See, where I work at, they get that too. Yeah. Westlake, whatever.
It's new this year, but Liam lost his charger.
Oh, God.
Hilarious.
I know. Color me not at all surprised. And I haven't, looked at it to order a new one on Amazon. He's like, they'll just bill you at the end of the year. I'm like, I know it's going to be cheaper for me to just buy a charger.
Yeah, let me just buy one.
Plus, then you can fucking use it.
Yeah.
He's lost it for, 2 months now.
So this laptop, right? Like, it basically is their books, right?
Yeah, basically. And it's really cool.
That's exactly what they've been telling me.
Last semester, they didn't have it. And so they're supposed to do their homework now on it. But before, they were supposed to do it on their computer and then upload it to this other thing. And then the teacher would get it.
Right.
And I would watch him spend 45 minutes and the program wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And then eventually he would upload it, but the teacher never got it. So he was getting zeros on stuff that he would then have to print out and show him, I did it. It just wouldn't work. We have Google Fiber.
Right.
We have a brand new computer.
Right.
This is not the norm for kids.
True.
So then the school was like, all right, all of these people, Bowie is a pretty wealthy school, but it has a varied demographic. I mean, they were expecting every of the 3,400 kids to have access to computers. It's not realistic.
I've talked to some of the Westlake High School kids, and with this this same type of setup, they have that laptop as all their books or whatever.
Yeah, it's much
easier. And it's they're starting to tell me, which they're very smart kids. It's to me, I see kind of a security privacy breach in a way, because you bring that place or the laptop home, right? And it's connecting to your devices. All of a sudden, they're telling me of instances where things are popping up and the teachers are able to see things that were on other devices that were in your own house.
Yeah, Liam's French teacher was getting on his class for accessing Netflix and stuff, but they weren't actually doing it from that computer.
Right.
But she was getting on them, and so she has the power too, which is crazy to check any time of day and see what the kids are doing. And she's the only one who's been using that power, to my knowledge. But she was open about it. She's I'm going to check, and if you're not doing whatever, whenever, then this is going to be a problem. And
I haven't heard it like that.
If I'm at my house and I'm using my iPad, which happens to be connected to the same Wi-Fi as my computer, to watch Netflix, you don't get to know that. You don't get to complain about that.
Now she's a digital warden even on your own spare time.
Right, and then she's so you didn't do your homework, but you spent 8 hours on Netflix last night.
Well, and that was one of the things that was actually brought up to Zuckerberg today was the fact of, you cancel your account, it's deleted from Facebook, stuff like that.
Is it really gone?
Is it really gone? And he's like, yes, it's gone from our servers. If somebody has shared that, if one of your friends has shared that outside of Facebook,
it
may still exist.
Still gonna be there.
I don't believe anything digitized at all, even if it's one time that it's been, even if you delete that one, it's totally ever gone.
It isn't.
No,
number one.
It's not necessarily
why I call
Zuckerberg. I still find stuff from that preschool.
Yeah.
All over the place, and I really tried to do due diligence and delete everything after that, but I can still Google it and find a lot of stuff, even though technically none of it exists anymore.
For almost a decade now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, seriously. It's since 2011.
Yeah.
It's like a forever
print. It's been
print.
7-8 years that I know of.
It's a print that's forever there in a way, you know. Might not be exactly the original, but it's
nice,
still there.
Though, and I'm like, oh, look at me all 26 years old. Full of promise.
Right.
I realized that I was about to get punched in the nuts so hard.
Right?
Bam!
Hey, reality.
Yeah.
Reality sucks.
Sorry, it came back strong.
That's right. I came back fighting. That's right.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Well, and I think that's not even necessarily what Zuckerberg did today. I don't think he even came out fighting. He just came out being honest. As honest as he possibly could.
Well, see, here's
with the knowledge that he has.
You're absolutely right. But the one thing I wanted to point out there in that whole thing that I only saw bits and pieces of compared to you watched the whole thing. But do you remember the senator of Missouri when he asked him, do you know the agreement that you signed with Cambridge? And he brought out those boards and they held up and basically was written in the agreement that they were able to do what they did.
Sure.
With that information and stuff. And so basically Facebook, just like we do, go on and just click yes.
Yeah.
He was guilty of the same shit.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know what he agreed to. And it was in the written agreement.
Yeah. It's like Richard. So there's this link that I put up on my personal page, but I'll put it up on the Dudes and Beer page. But you can check and see if your information was harvested during this whole Cambridge Analytica thing. Mine came up that personally I didn't do anything that would make it harvested, but one of my friends did. So several other friends took it and we kind of narrowed down like the time frame and, you know, like a vague, like, okay, you're friends with this person, but you're not friends with this person. So it turns out that our very own Richard Adams of Breach TV, who's a tech guy, he clicked the link. So, like, just like Facebook, and they click the user agreement.
Yeah.
Like, people click shit. They don't read things.
Exactly.
Like, you can be the smartest tech person in the world, and stuff is going to get by you.
Right, exactly.
It still sneaks past you.
Right.
That's just it.
That's exactly right. I think if anything they're going to learn from this is dealing with that somehow in some way, you know?
Well, and... Like I said, it's not even necessarily a breach; it's a leak.
Right.
There was no data breach with nobody hacked Cambridge Analytica.
No credit card numbers,
stuff like that.
Have
yeah.
None of your social security number. Yeah. They're not going to like create passports. Like
no,
they just know like where you like to eat and if you're generally bipartisan or not. Like,
yeah.
Generally,
I'm not, by the way.
Yeah. No, she is not. Either general or bipartisan.
I am extra and partisan.
That's right. You know, just kind of going out on that note, guys, thinking about number one, paid Facebook. Let's go around the table real quick. Julie, would you pay for an ad-free Facebook?
No, I love the ads.
Okay.
Because you can just skip them.
Sure.
Yeah, true that. You know, as for me, like, I've gone this long as the way it is, and I'd probably just stick with it. I'm with Julie. They're not a big deal. Hell, it might get annoying at that one moment when I'm trying to do something, but you can easily get by
just
it, you know?
Just keep scrolling.
So, yeah. I mean,
If there was a pop-up ad, though, that you had to watch, I would pay.
Yeah.
To not have that.
Oh, don't give them no ideas.
Well, how far away are we from it being the awesomeness of Photo Bucket that is now pay for Photo Bucket or have a bunch of ads?
Exactly. Kind of like Photo Bucket, I was just about to say.
Yeah.
Photo Bucket was a great, beautiful idea, and it was fantastic.
At that point,
great.
I'd pay.
I wouldn't for Facebook. I wouldn't for Photo Bucket.
Dude, Photo Bucket's fucking annoying when you get on there. And,
that's because there are so many other services like Photo Bucket, though.
Right.
And that's what we were getting into earlier, is that there is no other service like Facebook. There is really nothing that's like Facebook. There's nothing.
At least for our generation, Liam thinks that it's so stupid and thinks that everybody should be on Snapchat.
Huh. Very interesting.
Yep. It's like only old people are on Facebook. I'm like, well, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. we also don't put Tide Pods into our diet. Liam doesn't either.
No.
Liam doesn't either. And that's an overgeneralization on my part.
I don't think he has a single friend that has tried to eat Tide Pod.
That has taken the Tide Pod challenge.
A condom,
okay, good.
Or tried to eat cinnamon.
Or snorting long plastic things.
He's got common sense.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just it.
The long plastic.
Unlike the people who have to take the classes that I posted on Facebook today, where, you know, they're like learning to cook bacon and learning basic life skills.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, the basic life skills, dude. Boil an egg, change a tire.
You know, whenever you hear that, like, 68% of people can't sew a button.
I mean, I can sew. It's not going to look good.
Me too. Like, yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not good at all.
To not even know where to start.
I mean, I think the stat was like
also in the 60s of teenagers that know how to change a tire.
Stuff like this is like they're losing critical thinking, you know, too.
I know how to call.
Well, it's yeah.
It's like there's critical thinking involved too, you know.
I think gun to my head, I could figure out there's lug things, you got the jack thing.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
With
the tire,
like I feel like I could figure it out.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a good skill to
pretty
have.
Pretty common sense. Like there's a thing on the bottom of my car, I know that you put the jack and it goes up because it's like the metal thing. Like I think I could do it. I've just never done it. Like
the adult. You've never actually had the need to do it.
Because I just call people.
Yeah. Make sure that's why you have good insurance.
I put air in somebody's tires.
Make sure it's the frame of the car.
Nice.
Jacking.
Well, and then, you know.
But there's a spot on my car that's like four tire jack, and I'm like,
Oh, dang.
Yeah, no,
that's pretty easy.
It now says it there. It does. It's got two little dimples that make that spot stand out.
It's pretty.
It's that big frame.
I've seen other people do it on my car.
Oh, damn, I put it on the axle.
Oh, shit. Well, you know, and. As we move forward as a society, as we move forward as humanity, we really do have to take these things into consideration. We do have to, of course, make sure that people's personal data is their personal data. And number one, people understand what their personal data is.
Right.
I mean, not many people know about biometrics. Not many people know about the fact. I mean, we just posted all of 3 weeks ago for the first time. They lifted a fingerprint off of a photograph.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that isn't like somebody held a photograph and they pulled the fingerprint off of it.
No.
Oh, no.
It's like zoom.
Oh, okay.
There was an image of an object.
I'm glad you clarified that.
And they went into the image and pulled fingerprints out of the image.
You could get one.
Yeah, but it was non-visible fingerprints. Like,
amazing.
They use technology to go into that picture, into the object, and find fingerprints.
Like some freaking electron microscope, like, amped up.
And, you know, that's the algorithms that we're dealing with. That's the science that we're dealing with. So when biometric data can be gathered from a picture, now you're talking about iris scans possibly being able to be done from somebody's selfie. Stuff like that.
No, violation of privacy. Sorry, brother. You get more than just that.
Well, the problem is most of the time,
you
are
the
opting
agreement.
In.
You're all right with it.
I know.
If you're not, then you got to read it.
That's it.
Yeah.
You opted in somewhere if you have the app installed.
Yeah.
If you get notifications from it, you opted in.
Yeah.
That's the way it works, folks. So remember that.
I don't like
that. Go through and digitally scrub yourselves. Go through and take a good crying game digital shower.
And read what you signed. It's actually super interesting.
It is. And like they said, you know, sure, it's two pages. But there are like 20 links per page, and
so
that link goes to like another 10 pages. That I have like 20 links per page, and when you print it all out, it's literally like four fingers thick.
Damn,
like, it's crazy.
But if you ever have insomnia, it is a good read.
It is.
You read it, and you're like, I can't believe I agreed to all that. And then the next day, they're like, do you agree for something else? And you're like, why not?
Well, sure.
I've seen how bad.
I got nothing to do for the next 4 minutes. I'll agree.
Damn.
And even the concept of digital addiction, things like that were brought up in today's testimony. There were so many things covered. And like I said earlier, like we were saying earlier, it's the fact of right now they're just on a fishing expedition.
Right.
They're trying to see how far the rabbit hole can go, which way tunnels can go, and if anything that he said through further research may be negated And at that point, they can they can have the big gotcha moment.
I think Facebook is like the tip of the iceberg because I don't know. I think more so like the biometric thing is probably more so.
Intrusive, probably gonna be linked soon.
And people are not even catching on yet. Like, you know, what was the one with the Snapchat? You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Face recognition.
Yeah.
You know.
Where it's mapping stuff over your face live.
Right. Stuff like that. Yeah. Exactly.
Daddy, don't play that, bro. I don't play with that action.
Nah, I don't either. I totally don't. I've never downloaded that.
I
don't
have Snap. I have downloaded it, but I've deleted it. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's still there, but there's nothing.
Yeah, we're talking about stuff that we voluntarily.
Like, I'm a bunny.
I don't need fox ears, number one.
Yeah.
I know what
fox ears.
Yeah. I know what
the fox
says.
Oh, my God. Imagine the Albus is a little deer.
Little deer.
We're already talking about scrubbing all instances of him off of social media.
He's so cute, though. I have a lot of pictures.
And we already make the great conscious effort to not include his name in social media.
Right.
Either in mention
or... I did say that it was Amy's baby, though.
You
did.
I did
not say what his name was, but...
But we didn't, like, register his name with Facebook.
Right.
As, like, you know, child.
Yeah, he's so cute.
You know.
That picture was adorable, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they would already know in one way or another.
Well, and that's where
that's
we were talking
part of
with
the world we live in.
That's where we were talking with Arshawn McCleskey about digital age of consent, things like that. I'd love to talk with him as well as JL about that. I'd like to thank JL Carpenter of the JL Carpenter Law Firm for coming on this evening, for being our legal
liaison.
Yeah.
Did you have a brain
correspondent?
Did you flop in your brain?
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, that pretty much rings it for the end of episode 157 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Julie, for coming back.
Steven,
for being here always.
Yeah.
And until next time, everybody,
like a bad war.
Check us out on the HC Universal Network. Check us out on Breach TV. Check us out now on Spotify. And remember, if you can't be good,
thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.